along with all my distinguished colleagues in the audience and all of you, the fourth president of the University of Chicago.
Thank you, Rabbi Pruzanski. I thought some of your cases were very appealing. As works of fiction. Talking about fiction, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm reminded of, I knew a fellow who was a lay leader for UJA, and he used to do solicitor training. And he would always tell people that the absolutely essential, most important thing in doing this work is to develop your own sense of personal integrity. And once you learn how to fake that, the rest is really free. So thank you. Thank you. I'm always at my most frightened when I'm to Vishnu. And although I haven't had the privilege of davening frequently in B'nai Yeshurun, because my sister-in-law brother-in-law tends to frequent just a bit more, we're not Israel, this community has so many memories for me, and so many of you have been in such formative roles in my life and in Esther's life, and this community serves such a critical role in our future lives together, that it's like being at home, which makes me more nervous. And I have some thoughts to share with you, and what I'm truly hoping for is after that, because we have so much closeness that we share, we can have questions and attacks and all kinds of things so that I can learn and maybe we all can. Interestingly, and having nothing to do with nothing, I have quite a journey that I'm on. And nobody's more surprised to be here than I am. I don't even mean here, I mean existentially here. And occasionally there are moments where you remember and you keep yourself centered. So as I left the office, I promise, as I left the office, my assistant handed me today's mail. And I received a letter, and it has nothing to do with anything, but of course it has everything to do with it. So I want to read this to you and say that the gentleman is misplaced in pointing the praise to me, but I just want you to hear. Dear President Joel, I was very happy to receive the wonderful news from YU about my acceptance to Yeshiva College and the great financial package. Your support is very important to me, for I cannot show enough gratitude to you. My parents and I are far from New York, but also here in St. Petersburg. We understand how many hours you all spent during telephone conversations, writing letters, and finding necessary information to help me become a freshman at Yeshiva College. I want to thank you many times because your help was so necessary in this important moment of my life. It shows me the real power of the Jewish community. So I am convinced one more time of the importance of Jewish education that I will get in Yeshiva College. The Jewish education will help me to preserve all the traditions that safeguarded our nation during thousands of years. My goal is to apply maximum energy to my schooling at Yeshiva College, to learn much and to become a worthy student, person, and a Jew. I thank you for this opportunity. With best regards and gratitude from St. Petersburg, Russia, Oleg Pantukov. So as a Hillel director, who presided over Hillel as we built 27 Hillels in the former Soviet Union, I witnessed the nace of Kriyas HaMishnah. And I felt very deeply, I think that the, aside from being there, the sterling moment was when at an international youth congress that we ran at Camp Shabbat, a young gentleman with an Azerbaijani kippah came over to me holding a guitar, and he said, Mr. President, I take any job as long as they call me Mr. President. Mr. President, I want to introduce myself to you. My name is Sasha. I am president of Kishinev Hillel. I said, right. The word that went fishing on the pogrom. Right? And here, I've taken a journey. I no longer claim credit for 27 Hillel. But maybe the point of everything I want to say is the reason that we built Hillel, among the reasons that we built Hillel, is so Oleg could find his path to the Yeshiva College. And without YU, there is a critical incompleteness in the Jewish world. And with YU, the Jewish world goes on in many ways, I believe, as long as we, the YU world, partners with it. I'm mindful of the statement attributed to Abba Iban when viewing the debate in the Knesset. He said, everything has already been said, but everyone's not yet said it. As president, it's very interesting because my job is to model language and to invite you into a new community and a new dedication. But having been warned by Dr. Herb Dobrinsky that this is a very, very, very difficult illness, and that you've been all over, I have to make sure that everything I say is me. So I'd like to talk to you tonight about Georgetown University. I'd like to get away with it. I also must tell you that it's very interesting. The last few weeks, I've had really one of the pleasures of the presidency. I confer degrees, and I confer honorary degrees. And I want to tell last week at the Cardoza Convention, I conferred an honorary degree on Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and we both And I must tell you, it's really a wonderful moment. Now, if anybody could tell me what honoris causa means, it would help me, because I've said it many times and I haven't a clue. The other thing that was interesting to me is, and I said this, I just finished the Einstein commencement late last week. All rights, privileges, and obligations pertaining thereto. Counselor, rabbi counselor. It works for me, and they like it when I say it. In any event, I guess my theme, my text tonight comes from the Jewish philosopher Don Quixote de la Mancha. He said that madness is seeing the world as it is and not as it ought to be. Madness is seeing the world as it is and not as it ought to be. And I'm here because it's time not to be meshuggah. It's time to be safe. And to look at enormous opportunities and enormous possibilities. And to think about how we have to lead our people. And to think about how your community and the community at Duke University has an unbelievably wonderful moment if we position ourselves right and if we think of ourselves correctly. I come here after a career most especially as a Jewish frequent flyer, where I was a presence on almost all campuses except Yeshiva University, although there was a petition recently from 100 students to establish a Hillel at YU. I was involved in the broad Jewish community. I had a wonderful church to be able to both observe and hopefully participate positively in broad Jewish communal life. And I come to you 5 days shy of 1 year as president of Yeshiva University. I'd like to share with you what I believe the opportunities are for us, what premises they are based upon, and report to you a little bit about Yeshiva University, and how I believe we are poised to impact on our world and on the world. If we dare to dream and actually decide to act ke'am echad le'echad, one people with one heart, to actualize those dreams. And this isn't a public relations speech. We are the community together. These are fresh perspectives after 1 year, and I assure you that most of you had more reason to think you would be president of Yeshiva University than I did to think that I would be president. So there's a certain freshness of perspective that I hope you will share and reflect on together with me. I have in the last year spoken to countless constituencies. I have been in countless public places where Esther leans over to me and says, Richard, we've been cited. It's clear to me that with deliberateness and shul, I decide whether or not to scratch my right nostril because somebody will say, the right nostril he's scratching. We have had the pleasure of hosting since October over 500 members of the faculty of Yeshiva University in our home for dessert or for dinner. That's more than one chicken. I have met hundreds of your children, the most wonderful students in the whole world. And I've visited multiple communities, met with Rabbeim and Rabbanim educators and communal leaders. I've heard many fears and uncertainties, but much more loudly, I have heard wellsprings of hope and optimism, and met people who have vision and who dream about the bright future that can await our community. The bright future that can await our community. And I've been met with really overwhelming support and overwhelming expectations. I want to speak to you now not as the multiple roles of Yeshiva University, as a great research university and really one of the premier research universities in the United States. That's very nice, very important. I devote a lot of my time and energy to that. But I want to speak to you of why your central role as the educational and professional fountainhead of the Kola Umaga community. In preparing for the position, I read everything I could get my hands on of Rabbi Revel and of Rabbi Belkin, Olam HaShalom, partly because the job's so lonely, you're in bond with them. I used to bond with the Brandeis, but I feel I have more in common with Dr. Revel and Dr. Belkin. And I really didn't, I don't want to tell you I talked to them, but I was going to say, are you speaking to them? That's all that I know what he says. But in fact, I take great strength from feeling like I am taking the next step that was begun by them and Buddha behind my esteemed champion, Dr. Norman Lamb. One of the things I started to do is say, I want to connect with the truth. I mean, Kola Umaga must be, there's this truth. I have to look in some work and I'll hear Kola Umaga. So I've read the works of Dr. Revel. I've read the works of Dr. Lamb. And we can talk about what Kola Umaga means, but it seems to be a work in process. And I think that's part of the gift. Because I think what we are is Kola Umaga. And at least UCD, I want to spend less time talking about it and more time doing it. And we'll discuss along the way what that means. When I was selected as president, I was invited to go to Harvard University. Harvard does training seminars for new members of the federal judiciary, for members of Congress, and for new university presidents. Select 40 of them. But first of all, I was accepted to Harvard. I spent 5 days bonding with my peers, the president of the University of Glasgow, the president of Amherst, the president of the American University in Cairo, the president of the University of Michigan. It was really fascinating. After 5 days, my colleagues came to me and said they had decided to elect me as the president with the most complicated job. But we all shared what our terror up here were and our missions were, and they said, you have the most complicated job. Because you're the president of a major, complex research university, and you have the Jewish people. And in a certain way, it's true. But see, I can't be in this community without reminding you to look around and to think about how unthinkable our world would be without Yeshiva University. Now, I have built communities of Gimels in about 16 years for wonderful, modern, young Orthodox Jews, where they can attend college, where they can have a minyan 3 times a day with a Siddur kasher, where there's a critical mass of other students, where there's usually a base medrash, where there's even often a rabbi they can learn with. But the future of the Jewish people doesn't depend. Because, and I've counseled lots of students, and I'm not being negative, and I promise you what I'm saying now is what I said for the last 15 years. There's no question that we can find 15 or 16 places where our children can be comfortable, can be supportive. There's really only one place where you can be assured that our students will continue a life of learning, and will be in a homogeneous environment where they can take on the challenge of how to lead the Jewish people. And that's my lesson to Hillel. So I think the future will be defined by Yeshiva University's role or lack thereof at a new time of new old challenges. And I think we have to be serious about that. So President Reagan had a real impact on society. And there were a couple of quotes that I thought would be relevant to a young idioma. Ronald Reagan said, status quo, you know, is Latin for the mess we're in. Status quo is lacking for the next year. So I hope nobody expects me to try to strive to maintain the status quo. It's unacceptable. It's a pause point in the game. You shouldn't pause too long because you forget how to move. He also said to sit back, hoping that someday, some way, someone will make things right, is to go on feeding the crocodile, hoping he will eat you up. I wouldn't say that Ronald Reagan did, so I think it's very important. So So what's the approach? You wanted to talk, Rabbi Lieber, the Hatzorah Umada. I'm following in the footsteps of my predecessors the same way that I guess Will Rogers followed in the footsteps of Aristotle. So I'll be proud to be Will Rogers and say that I started to say that Yeshiva University is America's Jewish university in service to humanity. But Yeshiva is America's Jewish university in service to humanity, and that what makes Yeshiva distinct is that it's a university with a Yeshiva at its heart. And I think in some ways that's an approach to what I feel and what I've been taught about Torah Umada. That Yeshiva should be America's Jewish university. There's no other, by the way. We are America's Jewish university. If we are a Jewish university, we have to be up to the mission of the Jewish people, which is to be in service to humanity. But we also have to remember that what makes Jewish Jewish is that we have a yeshiva at its heart, and in the heart of that yeshiva, the Christian Torah and Torah values. These two statements define our understanding of the sacred purpose of the Jewish people. Again, to me, our opportunity is to explore art and science, poetry and prose, business and commerce and culture, viewed through the lens of Torah and Torah. And in that way, we become unique messengers of the Bona Torah. Our message of Torah Umada is not about survival. We've done that. You can check that off as one of the things we've done. We survived. It's about thriving. Avraham Avinu wasn't looking to survive. He didn't look for a place to hide. He went across the river, El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha. He was striving to reach out to people. We aspire to ennoble and enable. And you know that's the phrase that I use in my investigative address that I've been mercilessly teased about. I do have a thing about ease. At Hillel, I was concerned about empowering and engaging. Now I'm about ennobling and enabling. There are other E's that we won't get into. The truth is that I think Torah Umada is a philosophy of vital and vibrant orthodoxy. We have to be the ones to teach the world that values are a value. The Meir Simcha Kohen of Zinz, the Mesh of Chachma, notes that this is the symbolism of Christmas. The Pasuk writes, O Tachalma, Hashem made the world like a garment, Tachalma. Scripture teaches us that this beged, which symbolizes the world, was created incomplete. There are loose strings on the end. Our responsibility, says the Metzachta, is to partner with Hashem to complete the world, bring it to perfection, and tie up the loose strings. One of our wonderful Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva Tendrich, Los Angeles Rishisai, comes to me strongly, says, champion Torah Umada, tell them that it means that we live life on our terms, and the Torah Umada is the Chatzila, not the Vieta. It struck me like a touch in front of them, but a wake-up call. The very simple statement that the way we live and the values that we have, that I've expressed in my own language terms, is not the Vieta. It's not what we settle for. It's what we aspire to. And we needn't look to the left, and we needn't look to the right, and we needn't find fault with the left, and we needn't find fault with the right. We need to be us positively, knowing that we see a vision for Jewish life, we see a role as Torah submitted to you, that we think represents an ideal. It's not about the other, it's about us. It's about opportunity, not problem. My son Noam was sitting with me one night with an excuse to watch television. He offered to scratch my neck, to rub my neck. Very noble of him, it was lovely. I, of course, fell immediately asleep. And then all of a sudden I heard Noam saying, Dad, Dad, did you hear what they said? It's something you would have said. So, of course, I awoke and pretended to be comfortable. Sure. What was that? He said, the guy on TV said that the only way to make a dream come true is to make one. That the only way to make a dream come true is to wake up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's science. It's not rocket science, but it requires a vision and some basic tenets. To advance an agenda of Torah Umada requires trust, requires faith, which requires goodwill. He has to be much better at avos chinam than we seem to have developed the capacity for sinav chinam. It's about kindness and nobility. It's about excellence. It's about heeding Don Quixote and seeing the world as it ought to be. What do we want for our children? That's when I have six fine hearts. We'd like them to proudly follow in the path of Avram and Sarah so that the nivrusim of Tav Kol Mitzvot Shadamah seems to be our mandate, that we're supposed to live in such a way that all the families of the world should be blessed. We want our children to have value-laden lives of happiness based on an embrace of Torah and the sacred challenge of the Jewish people to model Kedusha for a world and for so many of our people shrouded in shadow. The light of a joyous and purposeful life in advancing humanity. We want them to learn, as Rav Tais Zal said, to learn Torah, to love Torah, to live Torah. We want them to provide for their families and to improve society. We want them to love Israel, to make it part of their lives, to recognize its centrality. We want them to embrace the nobility charged by the Ribbono Shel Olam and commit their lives to the family business. The family business of modeling the values of Torah and living by them in a way that defines and advances civilization. Without pandering, we aspire for our children to be able to live in, embrace, and forge so many of the values that embody this community. This community is in so many ways, not finished yet, not complete yet, is an embodiment of a Torah Umada vision. It means something when my community in Riverdale and tries to establish RiverdaleSchools.org and to model it after PhoenixSchools.org. It means something when the world learns that when a recession, or a depression, hits the economy, this community immediately bands together and says, how do we model Chesed in such a way that really acts to maintain dignity? I like to think, without fooling myself, you all learned that at Yeshiva University. You taught it to your children. You give your children back to me. And they become a precious resource that we have to do something with. That we have to do something with. I must tell you, at this moment, I think, looking beyond Kinet, and maybe even looking into it, that our greatest challenge, and therefore Yeshiva University's greatest challenge and need, I believe it is simple, is to create large numbers of inspired Klei Kodesh and inspired Lei Kodesh. I think the vision for our people is to create and model and inspire serious numbers of Klei Kodesh and Lei Kodesh to venture forth to do the work of the Ribbono Shel Olam with joy and with fulfillment. And I think it is our unique mission, Klei Kodesh and Lei Kodesh. How are we supposed to do that? I could stop now, but you could all go to the microphone and you could tell me all the things that you love about Yeshiva University and all the things that you hate about Yeshiva University and all the things that you love to hate about Yeshiva University, and I can get to the top of our draft of MTA Class 58. You notice I did not continue. Yeshiva is one of the few real regrets in my life that I blame Yeshiva. It's a terrible regret. I have a terrible regret that I'm not a minister. I'm tremendously proud that I will, the fourth president of Yeshiva University, will be the first president of Yeshiva University to become a Muslim. And that will happen through God, this Rebbe, as a great fan of the Rebbe. But I spent a lot of time this year trying to see what we're supposed to be, and trust me. Trust me, I could spend my presidency investing in the online fund. And Cardozo has a huge agenda. And Firkhouse does a lot of good to the world. The president of Television University just called me and asked if we could collaborate because they learned that our PsyD program at Firkhouse is rated the premier one in the country. And what could we do to collaborate in Israel on that? There's so much that we can do. We have a wonderful museum that's a centerpiece. It should be a centerpiece of what we do. And I have to do that, and I'm happy to do that. But the soul of this is how is this American Jewish university in service to humanity and a university with Yeshiva as a part? How do we say But however you want to understand my understanding of Torah and Mabel, however you want to forge your own, has to be something that emanates from Yeshiva University. It's not just another university. I mean, thank God, because of some success at Hillel, I had opportunities to think about meeting other institutions and other universities. I had no interest. I love the job I had. I still say it's the best job in Jewish America, the presidency of Hillel. I hope soon that will be the case. But if we sit at such a remarkable point in society in terms of the darkness that approaches, and in terms of the Jewish people, in terms of our having such enormous opportunity to matter, to make a difference, to fulfill our mandate for the world, for the Pride and for our society. How do we do that? I just thought a lot about that part of the enterprise. That part of the enterprise is very interesting when I talk to other residents and we talk about alumni. So what do alumni want for most schools? So if you're an alum of Cornell, what do you want out of Cornell? You want tickets to the homecoming, you want tickets to the ball game, and you want the legacy of Miss for your child, so they can be a town for another. Different if you teach. Our alumni don't want to be part of an alumni association, they think they already are. And they live in alumni clusters called Jewish communities all over the United States and elsewhere in the world. And as I meet with them, I'll tell you what they say. They say, where are you? They say, where are you? You gave us a vision. You gave us a perspective. You gave us a perspective of Torah Umar. You equipped us well. You sent us out to this community. And we hear from all other teachers, where are the educators that we're supposed to count on to be in our schools, to be role models along with us? Where are the Rabbanim who are going to define things for us? Where are the Torah Umah, the Jewish community professionals and Jewish lay leaders who define society? Where are you? You'll get yours, and you'll get the last laugh, because I think I'm going to be off in a different direction if you haven't been there. Now, along with that comes a lot of work. And along with that comes a lot of Hasharas HaKol. It's not that they're saying they're doing nothing. They're saying, we're waiting. We feel alone. We feel lonely. We are somehow, it's like I say about Yeshiva too, the whole is less than the sum of the parts. We are in balkanized communities and we feel profoundly alone. And it's understandable, but it's unacceptable. And yet I have to remind myself, oh boy, we are organized, we are programs, we are legislative, we are university. We're not a Jewish communal organization. We're a yeshiva. And then I said, hold on. What I want to share with you after a year in office is what I think the priorities have to be, particularly for our community and its involvement in yeshiva. Well, forgive me if I don't talk about Einstein, I don't talk about Cardozo, but let me focus on our undergraduate schools, Yeshiva and Stern and Sims, and on Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, and on the ancillary programs of our yearly and community service division, and what's it supposed to be? How's the rationale for moving forward? What do we have to do? How do we make a difference? How do we advance? How do we advance? Not protect ourselves, not to contain. How do we finish? How is CNAC not the exception? And how is CNAC better than CNAC is? How are we supposed to do it? It seems to me that the first thing we have to do is to model at Yeshiva the kind of community, the kind of values, the kind of relationships that people learn to expect and then learn to create elsewhere. So I think we have to take responsibility for fostering an inspired and mobile environment. It's been too cold at Yeshiva. Lots of reasons. Lots of excuses. Some go back to our proud Mr. Shaharity. But the truth is, when children come to us, it's very interesting. It comes with many of them come to us after an Israel experience. And some of you are here to me, how is it that the students say, boy, what do I identify with? I identify with my yeshiva in Israel. What's the thing that I identify with YU? heartless because some of you are so anxious to have your kids graduate from their postdoc programs, you think that the 2 years of undergraduate education is enough. It's not. You're not doing them a favor. But you know, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about Israel, which is a wonderful thing. But you also have to conceptualize what we've done. We send our children to Israel. They have one or two glorious years. They love you very much. They're in touch by cell phone. They get to turn off the cell phone. You come visit and take all their friends to an appropriate evening. But they're really not front and center in their life. They're told that they are doing the most important things they will ever do in their lives, and they're living an idyllic existence. Their only responsibility is to make sure they're ready to stand and to make sure they're living. Their role models, wonderful role models, their only role models, are their rabbeim. The only big student they have to worry about is no grades, no career thoughts, and for most of them, 51% of humanity are not on their agenda. The other set. It's enormously safe and reinforcing, and not only are they having an extraordinary experience, but they're being told they're having the best experience they'll ever have in their life. And by the way, don't hear me being critical of Israel. I think it's incredibly important. I think it's an incredible benefit for the yeshiva. And I also think we have to understand and be cautious that we teach our children that this is a great investment they're making in themselves, and not their only time of maximum performance, and when they leave, the rest of their life is settling and making do. And I think that's partly our responsibility as parents. I think it's partly the university's responsibility to not say they're on the YU program and simply send them the transcripts and pass along the money and say, see you in a year, and then you can cover Ramada later. And I think it's also the yeshivot and the seminary's responsibility to be good partners and to hear from us what we expect from them. But they come back to us from there, and they find At best, it is culture shock for them to come back. All of a sudden, they're in New York City. All of a sudden, you are more than a cell phone away. You are less than a cell phone away. All of a sudden, even your learning has the two nights attached to it. All of a sudden, you have to worry, you have to stop learning at 2 in the afternoon, and you have to think about your major, and you have to think about your classes, and there are exams there. And then you have to think about nice later and when you can get into the intramural from the gym, which is only open for 2, and then you have to start doing your homework. And you have to think about a major, and you have to worry whether or not you're going to acknowledge the other 51% or 49% of the population. And the pressure is on you. So what are you going to do after this? What profession are you going to have? And you have to take the MCAT or the LSAT or whatever initials we come up with. And then we're surprised that they're not blissfully excited to be involved in what we're doing. But I also tell you that we then greet them with giant cracks that they get to fall through. And instead of welcoming them and nurturing them, we say, great quality is here. Go on a scavenger hunt. See if you can find it. And it's there. It's there. But we've neglected the environment. So nobody's happy. And again, I'm speaking, please understand, I'm speaking in wild generality. Our children had a wonderful time at yeshiva. Most people had a wonderful time at yeshiva. But I'm talking about how we have to model a community and to make it much more lofty, to make it much healthier, that can make it much happier, that can be much more inviting and learning culture. And it's time that I tell people when they come to my home, we have 500 faculty members, I invite people from all the different campuses. So at any gathering, we have Einstein faculty, Russell Yeshiva, faculty members from Cardozo, from Stern, and it's wonderful. And they say, you know, I've heard of this person, I've never met them. Sometimes Einstein faculty meet each other for the first time. But I tell them that we are a family of students. We're a family of strangers. And it's a terrible thing. Because when you know your family, if you feel strange, you become estranged. And you become different. And you become protected. So most of the environment that I found in yeshiva is one of protection. People are afraid of being hurt. And there's lots of reasons for it. It's a very complicated world these days. But I have been handed by Dr. Lim, who doesn't do well, both a legacy of Torah and Mada and a fiscally sound institution where we can dream some dreams together. For I don't need the donors who have an appeal to their sense of Rahman to keep the poor living people alive, for I can go out and talk to you as investors to say, what can we build on this sound basis that we have? The first thing we have to do is model Tavdabir. It's the first thing we have to do. We have to get rid of a culture of vilification in our community. We have to get rid of a culture if you disagree with someone, you attack them. We are the people who model sitting and learning Gemara, which is fighting with Shem Shemayim. And yet we model vilification. I disagree with you, you're my enemy. And students hear that, and it's changing. It's changing because students are learning to say hello to the people. When our security guards can either be our helpers or they can be the Gestapo. But it really depends on how we relate to them. We have to get back to our basis. Our basis. The Therapeutic Cognitive Code. That's what we have to focus on, I must say, first. Then we have to say, if we are the education council, how are we going to do that? I have to tell you that if we're going to impact our society, we need a larger market share. This year our enrollment is up about 3%. We lost last year because of the decline in students in Israel. We got caught in the pincer. This year we are up to the levels and a little beyond where we were the year before. But it's not enough. It's not enough if we're going to impact on the broad community in serious ways. We need to make yeshiva a place of choice. And a place of choice, which by the way, you know. Who comes to yeshiva? We get students at yeshiva that have turned down the finest, allegedly finest Ivy League schools. And you know that our students get into the best professional and graduate schools that they want. You should also know that our students can get a sterling education. They can get a sterling education if they're Ivy League credentials, and they can get that through our honors program. And they can get a sterling education if they have other midos in a more generic track. But they can excel. And they can excel and learn at the same time. We have work to do. At an undergraduate level, we have to make sure that we offer a consistent first-grade education. And a consistent first-grade education that will be a source of pride. Someone told me in Los Angeles a few years ago, I really want my kids to go to Yeshiva University. But why don't I just tell my neighbors? Why don't I just tell my neighbors? You all know, you go to events in your day schools and yeshivas, and we're happy to tell you that X students have been accepted in the Ivy League. And how many students have gone to yeshiva? The truth is, I'm here to announce, I'm president of yeshiva. Yeshiva University is not Harvard University. And I have another announcement. Harvard University will never be yeshiva university. And the real challenge is not to say, how can we imitate Harvard, but how can we be yeshiva? And the real challenge is to look at our undergraduate entities and say, what are they? They are small, personal, liberal arts colleges and a small, personal school of business. How do we make them personal? How do we make them personal? How do we make every student matter? How do we make every student feel to go to life? What do we do? It's not rocket science, ladies and gentlemen. It's being open and our being warm. So I think that we're going to impact on the community. We need to attract more. And I know they're out there. I can tell you the numbers. And I don't want to embarrass anybody. For the life of me, I cannot understand why a student would go to New York University and not Yeshiva University. What a Brandeis University. And I also can make a real good argument that half of the last 15 years as to why Planet has to be as a choice. But only if you thought about Yeshiva University for some reason it has to use. I think we have to do that. We have to help you. I think we have to work on the Israel role. The Israel programs are fine, but we shouldn't abandon our children to Israel. We should invest them in Israel. And I think we have to look at how we should trade Israel in all of it. We have very weak curricular offerings in terms of Israeli politics, Israeli economics, Israeli culture, Israeli history. We should have the best. What do we do to work with our children to have them understand the option of Aliyah and to understand how it's a value? What do we do to have internships in Israel so as they grow, they can really have the right relationship with them? What should our relationship be with Bottom Line University or with the Hebrew University in Jerusalem? And then we have to think about how to make yeshiva a university without war. The truth of the matter is, who needs another university with war? The things that Shimon Pesei Torah not exist for what we need to feel? How do we create, at the very least, a poet's language? How do we build a new town gown understanding? How do we make that happen? A different kind of town gown relationship. What happens in the yeshiva? Yeshiva Sevedis from an Ayat Kamsalem is a premier yeshiva. Look at our Russian yeshiva. You have them come here, they speak here more than any other community. We have present some of them. You know who they are. You know who they are in terms of Torah. I must tell you, I've had unbelievably informative conversations with them about Torah Ubadah. And I asked somebody, why don't you think about that? His answer was, yes. But how do we look at the yeshiva knowing that it's a premier yeshiva and say, what does it mean? What's the pedagogy of the yeshiva? How do we start in safety, asking questions, that the students who come, we don't continue to teach them. What skill set do we want them to have when they leave, so that they can very comfortably embrace a lifetime of learning? And if we look at the speaker program, I know they're going to be learning, but is there a step method? Do we know how we go? The truth of the matter is, we should have been great as a dean named who for probably close to 30 years was built out of what could have been a fractured yeshiva, a yeshiva of Shalom and Shlomo. It was probably the brightest man at Yeshiva University, who in the last year has been a remarkable partner with me in confronting what needs to happen, and says, how do we work with the rest of yeshiva to start building that? And what do we do more than that to make it a place of work? The other challenge, of course, is the yeshiva takes care of the learning. But we need to provide more for Smita students than a lot of learning. We need to ask them, and I'm not putting that down at all, but we need to ask them what accompanies the learning. Each Smita student, when they start to be told, which track do you want to go on? Are you going on the Rabbanus track? Are you going in a Pius track? Are you going in a Jewish professional service track? Are you going on a sacred Balabas track? And how do we supplement what the learning in the base medrash is with the finest skills that are available on our various faculties to make sure that our students are equipped to encounter the world proudly and bravely? How do we do that? How do we show our Russian yeshiva the respect, not by being silent and deferential, but by treating them with the dignity that they deserve? We have to be up to that challenge, and that's very important. And how do we make our community services into the greatest clinical program you could imagine? Because hundreds of our undergraduates not only have nice co-education experience in bringing Shabbaton and seminars to the world, but learn about the Sipuk Nefesh that you get from making a difference in someone else's life, and learn the professional skills. We have a great little program. It's a secret. It's small. It doesn't have any status to it. What do we do? What do we do further than that? So I'll tell you. I will talk to you about what's going to happen now. And then I'll close. I think your children will tell you that the warmth of yeshiva has increased in significant ways. I think they'll tell you that we're starting to break down walls. I think they'll tell you that there's a sense of trust and even a sense of joy. I think they get a sense that the students, we view as our clients, to whom we owe making the environment warm and supportive, and to whom we owe also educational rigor and hashkafic discipline. But I think they'll tell you that's happening. It's happening because of wonderful people that work at yeshiva and wonderful people that I brought into yeshiva. I think they'll tell you that the culture is badmouthing, not just lashon hara, but the insidious ways that we vilify each other is no longer permitted. Can't even keep under the doors. I think you will see that counseling is getting stronger in yeshiva. We brought the faculty together. They're starting to talk to each other. They understand there can be interdisciplinary strength. The whole can be greater than some of its parts. We have a strategic plan where we're saying, how do we invest in quality faculty? How do we invest in the quality faculty we have? And how do we look at what we're supposed to offer that makes us more consistent in terms of quality? I think you'll see that we are providing, I started this year with one of my, at Hillel I had graduate fellows. I said, spend a year after you graduate serving these people. We decided it would be something cool to be able to model both service and excellence. So we selected, first of all, we got people to support you graduating. We selected 11 students who have graduated and served since we received them. And we offered them a one-year fellowship. Graduated from third medical school and law school and other schools. We pay them the immediate sum of $18,000 plus health care and dormitory or apartment. And we have placed them to work at chief assistants to our deans and vice presidents, to have a serious professional role as a young professional, to spend a year in university leadership. And that, of course, will give us lots of strength. But we're also giving them a major graduate seminar in Jewish leadership and institutional leadership. And we think it's a very important model. I will also tell you that we've decided, before we have long best plans in place, to try to address some of the concerns of the students. So we have a situation where, thankfully, we're blessed with someone in your community, Rabbi Soloveitchik, who's been offered a major shiur, together with Rabbi Glitzman and some others, in Yoredeya next year. That Rabbi Moshe Kendler is going to teach Nida from a halachic and a biological perspective. That I hired Dr. Rabbi Eli Bacon, who's been a priest of guidance counsel, to be Sran Mashkiach in the Beit Medrash. And two other people, who I'm not going to reveal yet, to be his colleagues. So that every Talmud, a male Talmud, who comes back from Israel, will not fall into the cracks that we'll talk to and will be nurtured and will be guided. We're starting a new academic advisory center this year, so that students don't have to play Let's Make a Deal. But this can be one-stop shopping for them planning out the curriculum. All of this for them to feel like they matter. Like they matter. We are starting to renew the JSS program, to make a serious investment to attract students of limited background who want to pursue a life of nobility through Sarah Umada, and to tie in with them to apply and tie into other opportunities, so that there be a large number of young people on our campus, men on the men's campus and women on the women's campus, who can pursue that. There is no modern Orthodox place. There is no Torah Umada place for these young people to grow. And it has to be at yeshiva. It has to be at yeshiva. We have to start being concerned about continuing professional education. Why don't we invite the rabbis of our community to come back to yeshiva, to give and to take to grow? And I'll tell you one other thing. We must take responsibility for the Jewish educational system. We must take responsibility for making sure that we inspire people to go into Jewish education, that we help with their placement, that we provide in-service opportunities, that we build the finest school of education we can. In that light, I want to tell you that I'm proud to tell you that I have persuaded Dr. David Halpern to leave both his practice and his position as head of psychology at North Shore Hospital, and to become professor of education and psychology at the Osbeyan Graduate School, one of the world's foremost authorities at both children in crisis and informal education and education and psychology. And he'll also serve as special assistant to the president, beginning the construction of a serious pastoral psychology program at Reitz. We have to start doing these things. And the last two things that I will mention to you before I close is how do we break the town down barrier? And there are two ways to do it. The first way is by the end of this year, the end of this next year, we will establish something at Yeshiva whose working name, maybe we'll make it more elegant, through the Census of the Jewish Future. Not the Census of the Jewish Future, but I need a few people who will sit not in a deanship, but will sit astride the school and say, how do we galvanize all the strength here to produce students who are equipped to lead our people? And to lead our people, l'hadzil toru l'hadzil. What are the services that we can offer as an educational institution to enrich the community? Why is there a YU lecture group? There will be a YU lecture group. Why isn't our community doing serious in-service work with the day school? Why aren't we having a pension program that's serious and wonderful? Accompanying that, we're going to engender the University Community Council. Not fundraising councils, where we'll also talk about community, but councils in each community of communities who will advise me on the needs of the community and who will access paper, but access services with YUs to enhance the community. I hope they'll also help us interview students. I hope they'll also help us find the funding to do what we need to do. But the goal is that this community needs to feel like it's one, like it's some effort and labor fight. It just must be. There's no other choice. I must tell you that the challenge we have represents one with the Moroccan concerns. I had a thought, and then thought so much better developed for us. And I apologize if I'm bastardizing it, I'm trying to get right, if I'm filling my problem. Because the Moroccan go to Eretz Yisrael and they see bizarre events, everywhere people are burying their dead, the priests are of extraordinary proportions, the Moroccan didn't get it. They viewed what they saw as an overwhelming danger. But their real faith, says Rav Sobolevsky, is that they viewed themselves as too small, as not up to the challenge, as too insignificant to make a real impact. But they saw themselves as insects. We were insects in our eyes, and therefore we were insects in their eyes. The real faith is that after all that they had been through, when given the opportunity to enter the land, they were saying, we are not up to this challenge, let's come and hide in space within this life. That was their faith. So I'm sure Antalev got it. They interpreted what they saw as opportunities, not challenges. They were optimistic, and they were confident in their abilities. They can take this land. They can make a difference. They can inspire and elevate the surroundings. Maybe that's why the story of the Moroccan is followed by Sisyphus and Salus. We're told to set our sights high, to look at the blue stream, and to envision the Kiseh HaKadosh, the throne of Hashem. Symbolically, we're told that we get to see God here in this world if we set our sights high and if we know what to look for. We will only make a true contribution when we develop an appreciation for what we are. When, as in the words of President Ronald Reagan, we are willing to reclaim our destiny. We have to be willing to reclaim our destiny. Thank you, gentlemen. And in this position, the people at Yeshiva were hearing you, and they said it's time to move ahead and to advance. And they thought maybe something from the outside would be able to hear your voices and articulate it and come up with a plan, not just for a university to look into, but for Yeshiva University to take its proper place, galvanizing the community to do what we were created for, to be a purposeful people, to advance society through our commitment to Torah and Torah values. That's what I need your help in. That's what I think we can do together. That's what the worthwhile challenge is. So I end many speeches with a quote that I love. When we lived in Washington, I would often visit the high school of Gallaudet University, you know, the university for the deaf and hard of hearing. And in the lobby of that high school of Gallaudet is a model of a little red schoolhouse. And there's a plaque on the schoolhouse. It's an unattributed quote. But I think it speaks to all of us and to each of us. It says, there are only two lasting gifts that we can hope to bequeath to our children. One of them is roots, the other is wings. Thank you very much.
Remarkable vision of what Yeshiva can produce. You must know that in the audience today, tonight, there are Mismachim, alumni, current students, and certainly parents, and certainly future students as well. But you should know that from all of us here, we all count ourselves among your friends and supporters and well-wishers, and most importantly, partners. And therefore, I thank you for coming tonight, and for the vision that you offer. We'll take some questions for a few moments. I would just ask that the questions be limited to fine punctuation in 30 seconds. Just if I may take a point of personal privilege, let me ask a question that I know some of our parents...
27 seconds.
A handful of our colleagues and services every year absorb a message from a variety of yeshivas. Some of them have relations with YU that Torah Ma'ad is not an ideal. And in fact, it better serves in a philosophy they call now Torah Uparnosa. So they'll be told, go to Lambert College, go to Ner Yisrael, you'll study accounting and business and the sciences and math, so you won't study Shakespeare. No, you won't. Why are they wrong?
Why are they wrong? They're not wrong, they have a different vision. I don't agree with it, so it's not for me to tell you again. The question is, you know, what are we proven and how are we going to go? Now, I'll answer it a different way. There are about 30 schools on the YU program. We can live with 12. And I don't think that's a threat. You're starting, I spent a few weeks this year, probably the first time I've spoken and spent a few weeks from seminary to seminary. The leaders of them, like everybody else, simply feel risky. We don't talk to each other. And so we start a conversation. And we said that we're serious about people being on a YU program. And within a year, we want to make sure that the four students go to Israel or as they arrive in Israel. There's a serious orientation by Yeshiva University. So during the course of the year, as we started to do a little bit this year, we're in communication with them. That if they're going to be on the YU program 4 or 5 weekends a year or Bein HaSmanim, the students have to come to us and we have to be able to expose them to alien concepts like, you know, look, like great books, like different issues, not to detract from the issue of experience, has to show us, but to say there are other values out there. If students choose to go a path that Torah Parnassa, I'll be different. And we gain nothing. We gain nothing by offending them or by attacking them. But I must say that if we find Yeshiva's a seminary that thinks that, then they should live and do well, but without a relationship with Yeshiva University. And I think I must tell you also that the constellations of schools out there, in addition to being great Yeshiva, are businesses. And these people are looking for businesses to give them. And these people are looking for support. My conversations with many of them was to say, look, rather than telling me, can we approve a Shana Gimel and why you're not encouraging them all to Shana Bet, what about if we work together to expand the market share of students who are graduating from day schools and going to Israel? I guarantee you that the numbers are low, especially when you're outside of Phoenix. Or outside of New York. There is life outside of New York. Rather band together with us, and let's work together to make it an inspiring experience. We're trying to get, for example, we have Benjamin Tabari, Rav Tabari, who teaches both at Gush and at the Midrashic Meriah. He's taking a year and he's coming to Spring College, where he's going to direct our graduate women's Talmud program, and he's going to teach in Spring College. That's because he's great, and we should be exposed to him. It's also because he should be exposed to how great we are, and that kind of interaction should be done. I want to start across a program of sabbaticals for Rosh Yeshiva, an exchange program, where they can spend a year in Israel. The logistics are hard, the devil's in detail. And we can get ramen from Israel to spend time in our base country. I'll try to take 30 seconds.
This is related to Rabbi Prezansky's question, but we sent kids to Israel. We wouldn't send them here. If we're not an Orthodox, we're not going to send them. Most of us would not send to Ner Yisrael or Hotel and so forth. But we send, maybe except for Gush, we send to yeshivas where the Ramas are not, they're not college graduates, and these Ramas become the model for our kids. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeshiva managed to pursue Torah model when most of our Russian yeshiva were European rabbis and we had no college. Baruch Hashem, now almost all of our Russian yeshiva, all except Rav Yakovlev, probably too late for me to send them to graduate school, are college educated. Most of them have masters and several of them have PhDs or are working on PhDs. Our sons, so far two of our three, went to Shalavim. And Nicole Yammer, who was his rav, didn't go to college, although his father was one of Albert Einstein's Talmidim. Not Albert Einstein College of Medicine, but Albert Einstein, who was named for the College of Medicine. And I have to tell you that they came back more learned, more able to learn, perhaps more intense, but they grew, they didn't change. So, and I think you have to recognize that I don't think my children were influenced to reject the path of their parents, and I think they were very comfortable, they were anxious to get back to Jerusalem. So what I have to say respectfully is, let's not abdicate our responsibility as to what we give our children as they go off this way. They are not going straight from the womb to raise their kids to line. They've had our experience, and if the experience is rich, we should have some confidence that they can learn. But their hashgacha there is, by letting them have an intense learning experience, they will be much more ready for Torah Umada. That after they really are confident in their learning, they return to yeshiva and they kind of celebrate their learning and they embrace Mada. There's something to that, but as a lawyer I call that necessary but insufficient. And I'd like there to be more. I don't think, except for some of the fringe schools, I don't think they're actively trying to undermine our students. And I think you have a right to demand of us that we lobby them to be sensitive to what you want as parents. Or what we want.
You feel that the communities that our children return to after their experiences in Israel reflect true Torah and Mada, but the children feel comfortable in the community, not just in place and have their children follow.
You know, I think we spend our lives striving to be all that we can be. And I think communities are just bunches of us. And I think there are, in all these communities, now, I don't know what true Torah Umada is. I mean, it works differently for different people. I think there is a deep need for more leadership, Kwe Kodesh, Lake Kodesh, who really are committed to look beyond their own learning and to look to see what they can offer in the larger community. And I think, frankly, the notion that if young people say that Torah or that the Torah is the light of my life, but the Torah is the vehicle through which I build a life and I matter in the world, I think that's people who are on the path of Torah Umada. I would tell you that I think Torah Umada is an elitist vision that's exceedingly difficult in a complicated world to live by. It's the least safe of the options, but it's the option that most involves us in approaching an idea. So I think to the degree that the communities don't reflect that, and I don't think, I mean, I can't see Silver Spring and everybody's community. I think you can have communities that one might say reflect it, and when you look at the constituent consumption, and when you look at the opulence, and when you look at the phenom, and when you look at the degree to which we are xenophobic toward the others, and to which we think that we're the only creatures worthy of life, I don't think that's our Umada vision either. So I think it's an aspiration that we have to decide to do together, and I think you need, and I need, and I do, to inspire and train larger cadres of people who take responsibility for those communities. I have an ad for one.
So, you know, that it was a wrong thing to send children to Israel. If you want to get them first into YU, let them put at least a year, maybe two, and then give them their year in Israel. They will already have a foundation at YU. They'll be more mature. They won't be so influenced by a lot of ideas that perhaps we aren't so happy with. And I had children who did go into high school.
You know, look, well, life is that way. Look, I must tell you, I can answer you in many ways, but the easiest way to answer you is nothing happened. So, look, the truth of the matter is, you also have to know historically, this arose at a time when a smaller percentage of students who graduated, went on to Israel. And this was a vehicle to ensure that lots and lots of our students would not be limited to the passion that they felt from learning in high school, and would have another opportunity in a retreat environment to really get it. And it worked that way. The issue isn't that we shouldn't say, I don't know that everybody should be son of Seth and son of Gimel. And I think it's wonderful to say, do your year, come back, and do stuff, and we'll send you there. It's not going to happen. Yes, I certainly can. I even just to say I guess it agrees with all the rest privileges and obligations pertaining there too, because MTA is having its commencement even as we speak, and unfortunately I don't get to go to the last commencement. The answer is that that our high schools are a part of the city university and will remain so in Yirtzeh Hashem forever, unless there are no students to come to them. And I think that the parents of the legislature, MTA has made a remarkable comeback and has to be reinvested in. And I think the next couple of years are going to be years of reinvestment. We suffer from the problem that, as you all know, there's an enormous paucity of gifted educators and principals and assistant principals, and one of our challenges is to do it. I have to tell you, I am so thrilled by looking at our students at Yeshiva and the people who've recently come out as Muzmachim and the women who've come out as educators, because I think we're onto something, but I think we have to do more. There are works in process. I think at this very moment, Central was probably more advanced than MTA is. Thank God we have full classes coming in next year. I think we have an obligation to say these schools are part of the university. We have to make a collaboration. We have to see how to do that. And I'm committed to that.
Why not ask our students to go to the university program for some type of accountability? That would help the reintegration. It also will help to have them become a person of this world and not a lookout.
So that's an area where the yeshivas and the seminaries have to agree with us. They don't disagree with us, just begun conversations. And to me, that's a very attractive idea, and I think it can incentivize it. I'd like to see it. Must not be limited to the Orthodox community. If we have a premier graduate school of Jewish education, we should be looking to add value to people who want to go to Jewish education in other areas of Jewish life. I assure you, the danger that the Orthodox community faces does not come from the Reform movement. And I can tell you from my experience, I would rather have a student go to a Reform-based school than be Jewishly ignorant. I would rather them know that the Torah is their possession, Shabbat comes on Saturday in the Jewish religion. I'd rather have them light candles and go to a football game than not know about it. I don't embrace it. It's not my way. I think it's wrong. But I must say that we have to add value. I can tell you that if we had more of Jewish community leadership coming from Yeshiva, if more Federation professionals, if more Jewish community professionals, if more community educators came from Yeshiva, there'd be a higher and better and wonderful level of engagement. I think the liberal community, frankly, is what I disagree with. There are values in that community that can inform our community. And I know that without the partnership of the traditional community, I despair for the liberal Jewish community. I will also tell you that we should have in our graduate schools the capacity to do training programs for Federation executives, where we should be able to do continuing education for all kinds of students and for informal educators. I think that's what we're supposed to do, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to say that, but I also have to go step by step and step this to
Thank you.
And the students who will serve as advisors at that program will get a nonpareil, unparalleled experience of what it means to give, and how to be an educator, and they will meet people of other sectors who they might form meaningful relationships with. I have to tell you that I met such a woman of the opposite sex at a Torah leadership seminar. Thank God it's 30 years later. I'm so happy. And so many of you in the audience, you know, we bonded and we became friends through those programs. There are some in a ministry way that exist, but the truth of the matter is, together with this Center for Jewish Teachers, we have to use this as a clinical opportunity for our students to matter in the world. We're spending probably several million dollars on a serious program of distance learning, so that if Rav Schechter gives a shiur, which I hope you will do at our Schottenstein Center on 34th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue, which lies fallow, right, there can be a group sitting in the Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles and dealing interactively. We are beginning to seriously move on having high school-based value colloquium. Our smicha students immediately post-smicha can be a colloquium in the day school, so the students have role models, so the bachurim and the women involved in the colloquium can see that there can be life and purpose for them outside of New York, so that they can be some real influence. So this is learning. I can have colloquium all over the country, and they can go to hear from the Rebbe three times a week and contribute back and forth. They really stand at the precipice. They really expand the envelope as long as you remember, number one, that it is not students not to be a little risky. That students mean taking some risks and making sure that what we do is the best. I long ago thought that the best thing that we should hope for is unity without uniformity. And I think even in Torah Umada, I think there's a spectrum of color. And I don't see seeing if we can get everybody together to agree on the definition. I think we do it. In terms of high school students, I have always been an advocate, and I think we have to, again, not only to get people like my son and my daughter to teach in the day schools, and your son and your daughter, but also to reinvest in the experiential kind of relationships and experiential kind of reinforcements to come from Yemei Iyun and Shabbatonim and seminars, ways that they can really confront the kaleidoscope of the approach of our community to the world, to the issues of the world, calling upon our sacred sources and calling upon all that's available in life. I think that's how you do it. Within yeshiva, I must tell you, the cleavages are not as great as everybody says. It's an intense place. It's a place that responds to warmth. It's a place that responds to, let's look at what unites us. And it requires leadership.
Rare population forms more than 25 years
after. Want to answer more questions?
Once again, thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Don't get help. I'll talk about it. Thank you very much. Those who want to dive in moderate, please.
take this up to the old main shul. There's also collation downstairs. Thank you.
Okay. Is that okay?
We're in Iran.
Thank you. Thank you. Rathia, Nicole Alman. It seemed like seminar. I should have brought my cornea.
Finally.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That was great.
I thought that was important.
Hi,
Jonathan Schachter. How are you?
I'm a year older than Avery, but I'm
we're in the same circle. You're a baby.
I don't know if you remember me. I'm Carol Roth, and I was the associate registrar when you were in.
Of course.
Right?
Oh, how
my
are you?
Fine. My husband just stepped out as president here of Bnei Sherim, and I am now the college registrar at SUNY Maritime College.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's great. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
It was
a pleasure.
How much later?
I've been in Michael Steinhardt's office a number of times when he was speaking to me on the phone.
He's a good friend.
I have some interesting ideas that I'd like to discuss with you about expanding the business aspect of school.
I'd love to talk to you.
If you can email me or call. What's your name?
Aaron Lehman.
Okay. Look forward to it.
Okay. Michael knows me well.
Regards to my son. You may see him.
I probably will. Thank you, sir.
Nice call. How do we get people to live my father to come there? They took me to the yeshiva and said, this is the Goyse yeshiva. Uh-huh.
My father did that for me. We have to figure out what
Nelson wants to say.
Oh, hi, Don. How are you? Nice to see you. Nice to see you. I enjoyed our chat.
Thank you. Which is yours, Harrison?
Yeah.
There are two there I gave you.
This one is not mine.
This is not yours?
Not mine.
Someone gave me this.
Thank you. Good luck in the venture. Hi, Harrison.
Okay, this side.